Open them up to Matthew chapter 18. Our brother Wayne is not able to make it with us today, but I was told he's watching online. So Wayne, God bless you, brother. We love you. He wasn't able to make it today. He'll be back. But thank God for the streaming online. Amen. Hey, it's better than nothing. Amen. Get the word of God in your heart. Matthew 18. And I'm going to be looking at verses 15 through 20 here. Hallelujah. And my words are in red, the red letter edition. That means that Jesus is doing the speaking. It says, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, the two or three, tell it to the church." We don't want it to go there. Amen? Amen. It just gets too messy, right? Let's just, you know. Now, I'm not referring to anybody. I'm just saying, just the whole process is kind of messy, right? But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. A tax collector? Whoa. Like the IRS. Here we go. Verse 18. "Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." The Lord is in our midst right now. See, that's the corporate anointing. Amen? Now listen to this. Today I want to talk about something that every Christian possesses or has the power to bless someone with that thing. They have the power to impact a life with breakthrough with this thing. Now this thing that I want to talk about today, it has the authority, listen to me, to shift circumstances. Say shift. Many Christians rarely ever think about this thing, or maybe some don't even think about this spiritual kingdom key at all. I want to talk about the spiritual law of agreement. Say agreement. Specifically, I want to talk about the spiritual law of agreement in connection with prayer. So today, this message is called the prayer of agreement. Amen? Now, 2 years ago, if you look on the list of my messages, I've been here 3 years, so a couple years ago, I preached a message entitled The Power of Agreement. But the Holy Spirit, during prayer this week, on Friday specifically, the Holy Spirit revealed to me some deeper points about agreement that I didn't talk about in that one a couple years ago. Listen, y'all don't remember that one 2 years ago anyways, right? It's time for a refresher, right? So the Holy Spirit showed me some deeper points that many people don't really think about about agreement. So I want to share those points with you today. I believe it's going to be a blessing. I think it's going to give you some food for thought that maybe you never thought about before, and it can kick off some more revelation in you. I like after my sermons, some people will come up to me and say, "Hey, you know, your sermon, blah, 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 the Holy Spirit showed me this during your sermon." I'm like, praise God. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to spark more thought and revelation in you. I'm only up here for 45 minutes to an hour. So I hope the Holy Spirit gives you more. Amen? I'm not going to say everything on a certain topic, but I'm hoping that you'll walk away with enough to be able to spark more revelation in you. Get it? So in this message, I want to teach you about what true spiritual agreement is, and connect that with prayer, the prayer of agreement. Many Christians seek agreement in prayer with other Christians, but they and the ones they are recruiting, listen to me, really don't know what spiritual agreement is. I guarantee you of that. This spiritual agreement is so much deeper than what many Christians even think. So it isn't just saying this, "I agree with you." Nah, it goes much deeper. Now, those words should come out of your mouth, but what's happening on the inside before you speak those words? Amen? So as I was praying in tongues on Friday, all of a sudden, so much revelation came on this topic, I just started writing it all down. I have some revelation on something that I've never thought about before that I think is going to be a really, really bless you. So I have all these powerful points that the Holy Spirit written down. Here's the challenge. When the Holy Spirit gives you a whole bunch of points to write down, guess what? I leave this sanctuary, go in my office, and I'm like, how do I order it now? How do I put it in a logical order? Amen. So I'm going to do my best to put it in a logical order for you guys, okay? Here we go. Are you ready? The word agreement means this. It means to be in harmony or to be in accordance in opinion or feeling. It means to be in harmony or in accordance in opinion or feeling. Oh, the feeling's a big one. All right? Say feeling. Feeling. Agreement is also the absence of incompatibility. It's the absence of incompatibility. Now, the Greek word that's translated agree in Matthew 18, 19, which I just read, literally means this. It means to harmonize with, or here's the kicker, ready? To be of one mind. To harmonize or to be of one mind. It's where that Greek word that's translated agree, it's where we get our English word from. Are you ready? Symphony. Say symphony. It means to voice the same opinion because of this fact. Are you ready? Being like-minded with someone else. It just, oh, this agreement thing just isn't, oh, yeah, I agree with you. Nope. It goes deeper than that. And we wonder why we're not getting prayers answered when we have someone agreeing with us. Because I guarantee you, it's not biblical agreement. Oh, come on, somebody. Now, oh, I'm going to have fun with this one today, as you can see already. So it means to voice the same opinion because of the fact of being like-minded, okay? So now, because it says being like-minded with someone, now we bring it to the heart or the soul level. We bring the heart and soul into coming into agreement with someone. Being in agreement is more than just saying the right words. It literally means that two or more people are saying the same thing, listen, or praying the same thing due to the fact that there is harmony in their heart for that person or the desires or the need for that person you're coming in agreement with. Oh, come on, somebody. That's deep. That's deep. Jesus said in Matthew 18, 19, he said, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Did I just read that? Okay. Now, here's where you got to come in. Someone takes that and says, oh, anything, right? Well, if you want good things, it has to be in line with the will of God and the Word of God. So here's where you got to start to what we call rightfully divide the Word of God, right? Jesus said his heavenly Father would do it if at least two people agree on earth, not in Mars. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Okay, listen. If two or more people agree on earth. So now we understand that whatever is being asked, our heavenly Father is doing it. So knowing that our heavenly Father is doing it or answering the prayer, it has to be something in line with the Word of God. It has to be something in line with the will of God for God to get involved with it. Go to 1 John 5. Let me show you something real quick here. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 14, this is a good one. This is a good one to put in your spiritual suitcase in the topic of prayer. This is a real good one here. 1 John 5, 14 through 15. It says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, in God, that if we ask anything, here's where you rightfully divide the word. If you ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us. Whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So this verse literally says that if we ask according to the word of God, according to the will of God, what the Holy Spirit is showing us for our life, that we can literally walk away with confidence knowing that our prayer is answered. Are you following me so far? So if we ask God for desires and things that fit into those two boundaries, okay, the word of God and what the Holy Spirit's showing us about our personal lives, we can have that confidence in our prayers. So then I'm kind of setting this up here, by the way. This, what I'm going to bring up right now isn't the heart of my message. I'm just setting it up, okay? So why then would Jesus reveal to us in Matthew 18 that agreement with another Christian is needed at times to receive answer to prayer? The answer is found in the verse above. In verse 18, Jesus says, whatever is bound on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever is loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. So, and now, here in the three verses above saying that, talks about having a fault between you and another fellow Christian. And then, as you've seen, I read it, that it gives us instructions on how to handle that situation. Amen? So Jesus is telling us this, that our problem may not be that we're not praying in the will of God, in line with the word of God or the will of God, right? That might not be the problem. You might not have a faith problem. Someone says, I believe the word. I believe it, right? The problem may be this, a lack of agreement or unity with other Christians in your life. And until we deal with that lack of agreement, that lack of unity among us, we are literally, Jesus said it himself, we are literally binding heaven. We are binding the Holy Ghost. We are binding the angels of God from answering our prayers. So when you get that fault worked out and that agreement and unity restored, it's only then you will loose the Holy Spirit. You will loose the angels of God to deliver and work out breakthroughs in your life. Now, some of you say, oh, that's it? That's the message? That's what you came here to tell us? No, there's more. There's deeper stuff. I just told you that's just kind of common sense. There's more that I'm going to get into that you have never even thought about. So we as Christians should be currently, listen to me, we as Christians, we need to be currently concerned and working on one thing right now. Are you ready? Fixing, correcting, and maintaining agreement and unity within relationships in the body of Christ. It might, again, let me just say it again. It might not be a faith problem, but I believe the word. I believe what God says. Check your relationships in the body of Christ. We need to be correcting what could be the very thing hindering our prayers and hindering our breakthroughs on this earth. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 3 real quick. 1 Peter chapter 3. Well, I never thought about that before. Well, that's why you pay me to do this stuff. Hello, somebody. Listen, 1 Peter 3, 7 through 12. Look at this. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, give an honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. Don't tell the Democrats that. Someone got that. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Finally, all of you, be of, there it is, one mind, unity in agreement, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you were called to this, we were called to be a blessing to people, amen? And not just to be a blessing, but we were created to be blessed, to receive blessing, amen? That you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So this passage tells us that our prayers can even be hindered if our marriage relationship is out of order. Husbands, dwell with your wives with understanding. Give them honor as the weaker vessel. In other words, don't bully them. Don't treat them like trash. Amen. They're a fellow heir of eternal life. Amen. The Word of God gives us instructions to be of one mind, unity, compassion for one another, to walk in love as brothers, be tenderhearted, courteous, kind. Don't return evil for evil. Bless our enemies. Amen. Bless every person. You're even supposed to bless your enemies. Come on. Amen. And it says, if you will do that, it says you will inherit a blessing. And the opposite of that is this. If you don't do that, you won't inherit the blessing. Amen. So if you look at the context of what Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 18, he is telling us that our prayers are hindered if we have a fault between us and another Christian. But not just that, but this is the problem. Are you ready? You're unwilling to work it out. Listen, God knew we were going to have faults between each other, right? He knew we were going to have problems. But the problem is this: if you're not willing to deal with it, if you're not willing to work it out, then God says, now we got a problem, children. Come on. Amen. But also beyond that, I know, everyone's sweating, you're feeling the pressure. I'm going to move on. Don't worry, so y'all can feel a little bit better. But beyond that point, Jesus is giving us, he's revealing to us a spiritual law or a key about spiritual agreement that we need to pay attention to and we need to dig in a little bit deeper. Amen? Are you ready to dig in? Listen to this. Some prayers are not answered until you get spiritual agreement from another Christian or Christians. Or in other words, someone more than yourself. Are you following me? Some prayers. How do I know? Pastor, how will I know? You'll know. Because if you're not feeling, listen to me. The only way I can say it is this. If you're not feeling traction in the spirit, then you need to get someone else to come in agreement with you for a prayer. All right? Agreement or unity. The Holy Spirit said this. Get ready. Agreement or unity is like strength or power in the spirit realm. In Psalm 133, God commanded the blessing on unity among believers. Amen? The kingdom of darkness, that's why the kingdom of darkness is always trying to sow division, to weaken the body of Christ, to make the body of Christ, listen, less effective on this earth. Because the enemy knows the power of agreement. He knows the power of unity, and that's why it's hit so hard. Amen? That's why there's thousands of different denominations when there's only one Bible. There's one Bible. There's one truth. There's one truth to every topic. But we have thousands of denominations. Amen? Listen to this. If our lack of unity or agreement among each other is powerful enough, listen to me, is powerful enough to bind or to close the doors and windows of heaven over our life. Can you imagine how powerful, amazing, and mind-blowing our unity and agreement amongst each other can be? Literally, we're closing. Our division closes the window of heaven over our life. So here's what you got to understand is, ready? True agreement is of the heart. It's of the soul. It's spiritual. Say true agreement is spiritual. It must be processed, approved, and then given. Oh, you didn't hear me. I'm talking now here I'm getting into where I'm going to talk about you need prayer, and you're going to pick someone that you want to agree with you in prayer. I'm going to talk some points about that. I'm going to kind of mix them in. And then I'm going to talk about the responsibility of the one you've chose to come into agreement with you. Because both parties have a responsibility. Why? Agreement. It's mutual. Both have a part. Amen? Come on. Now, so true agreement is of the heart. So when you pray with someone, now, hold on. Let's get into, I want to get into these characteristics. I'm going to stick to my notes. Sometimes I want to jump ahead, but I'm not going to here. Let's get into the characteristics of true agreement in connection to prayer, the prayer of agreement, okay? Amos 3:3 tells us this, can two walk together except they be agreed? All right, and the obvious answer is no, there must be agreement. So in other words, can two Christians, can they truly go in the same direction? Can they truly team up in from the soul or heart level? There must be agreement. Amen? Now remember, agreement or unity is strength or power in the spirit realm. Okay? When we give our agreement to another Christian, we are allowing that person. Here's how I want you to look at it right now. Listen to me. When we give our agreement to another Christian, when we're praying with someone else, they tell you what they're believing for, and you give them that agreement, you are allowing that person to use your spiritual keys. You are allowing that person to use your spiritual vote. Oh, come on, somebody. When you give agreement to another Christian, come on, you are giving them your vote in the spirit realm. This is what's going on. You're agreeing with someone for a mutual agreed upon desire to come to pass. Are you following me? Now, sometimes we may be praying the right thing, but here's the deal. This is when you know you need someone to come into agreement, because there's major demonic hindrance going on. There's some spiritual resistance to what you're praying for. How will I know? You'll know. How long you been praying? I've been praying 20 years for this thing. Go get someone who you can really agree with then. If it ain't working with you just praying for it yourself, get some help. Amen? So agreement, listen to me, agreement will overpower that blockage in the spirit realm. Okay? Again, that's why the enemy fights agreement and unity so hard in the body of Christ, because it weakens us and it makes us ineffective. Now, I wrote some notes here, so I want to be very careful that I get these to you. It weakens us, the division weakens us and makes us ineffective. And why? Why is that? Why, if someone's not in agreement? Because there's different motivations on both sides of the people praying. Agreement means both motivations line up with each other. Are you following me? Now, here's the revelation I want to drop on you, like a spiritual bomb in here. Are you ready for this? I asked the Holy Spirit when I was writing this, I said, why is agreement and unity required for you to even get involved? Why is it even a thing? How did agreement and unity ever come into place in the whole cosmos? Why? Why is this a spiritual law? So that was my question to the Holy Spirit. Are you ready for this? Listen to me. Say, I'm listening. The Holy Spirit said this. Agreement and unity is a spiritual law. Because the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all in agreement and unity with each other. That was set into motion even before creation. That was and is a spiritual law from the very beginning, before the curse even came into the picture. Now, here's what he said now. He said, now that spiritual law of agreement or unity can be used for righteous or evil purposes. He said this. He said that when the curse came in, that flipped the spiritual laws to where it's not only used for righteousness, it can be used for unrighteous things. When the curse came in. Did anybody need me to repeat that? Because this is amazing. I got some more to drop on you here. As I was even in the shower today, I got out of the shower and I said, Marianne, the Holy Ghost just gave me something else about this revelation. I didn't even tell her what it is, but I was so excited. I said, there's more. He gave me more. She's like, great, making my eggs. Great. See, some people just might not value your revelation as much as you do sometimes.
Well, you didn't tell me what it was.
Well, okay, now. Listen to this. Listen to this. In fact, the Holy Ghost revealed this. He said all spiritual laws are in effect because the Trinity, God, our Creator, possessed those characteristics from the beginning of time. So every spiritual law came from Him. Every spiritual law is a characteristic in a righteous sense of God, our Creator. Now, so again, the curse took the positive spiritual laws and flipped them. So now, like I said, they can be used for good or evil. That's why you see the New Agers. That's why you see people in witchcraft. Yeah, listen to me. They're taking spiritual laws and they're using them for evil. So what they're doing, it's evil, but they're using a spiritual law. Hello, somebody. Say spiritual law. And then the Holy Spirit brought this to my remembrance. So remember, so every spiritual law came into place because the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God our Creator, it came from Him when He created. That's what set these spiritual laws into motion. Now listen to this. And then He said this, and He said Ephesians 1:17. He said, and I read it, and it shows we are to pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in what? The knowledge of Him. And He said, you don't even have to pray for revelation of spiritual keys. Pray for revelation of Me. Because when you get revelation of Me and who I am, you'll understand spiritual keys. Come on. Are you getting it? Study Him, study God, study Jesus, because every spiritual key came from Him, amen, and through Him, even the power, like the power of our words, right, the power of the thought life. I mean, God, how did He create everything? He spoke it. He's seen it on the inside, and He spoke it. It's a spiritual law. Yes, people in witchcraft, in the New Age, do it for evil purposes. That's because the curse came into play. You getting it? This is powerful stuff here. So, and then the Holy Spirit brought to my remembrance the account of the Tower of Babel. The Holy Spirit revealed some keys about agreement and unity in this account. Go with me to Genesis 11. Genesis 11. These laws, these spiritual laws, are not just random things in the universe. Hello. They were set into motion by God, our Creator Himself. And that's why we are to pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Because if you get a revelation of Him, you're going to start to get a revelation of the spirit realm. You're going to get a revelation of how to work the spiritual laws in the spirit realm to bring a manifestation into the natural realm. Genesis 11, 1 through 9, the Tower of Babel. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. Kind of sounds like the enemy there, right? All that pride. Lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Verse 5. But the Lord came down. This is where it gets real interesting. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are of one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Why? Because they're using a spiritual law here, and they're using it for evil because the curse that came in through Adam and Eve's sin. Verse 7, come, let us go down and there confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. Verse 8, so the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. That's where we get, hey, you're babbling. What are you trying to say? Hello? Yeah. You're babbling. Are you following me? Anyways, listen. So in verse 6, the King James Version uses the word imagine instead of propose. Say imagine. The King James says this, nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. So the people building the tower were one. They were one in unity. They were one in spirit. They were one in soul. Are you following me? They were in agreement. They had unity. And the Lord said, listen, if I don't go down and stop them, they're going to accomplish whatever they want to do because of that what? Agreement. The Lord had to confuse their language to stop them. So the first point is this. When you are seeking agreement with a fellow Christian in prayer, listen to me. Are you ready? Listen. You must communicate. Say communicate. Communicate your desire or prayer request very clearly to that prayer partner. Remember, here, you got to remember this. When you're seeking someone out for agreement in prayer, you are trying to gain or win their agreement or vote in the spirit realm. Are you following me? Yeah. Some of y'all are saying, boy, have I ever come in agreement with a Christian that I prayed with before. Listen, the communication was so effective and powerful when building the Tower of Babel that the people were a well-oiled machine with one purpose. Unfortunately, it was an evil purpose, right? But they were communicating, these individuals were communicating so well with each other and were unified and in agreement to the point that the Word of God says this, that whatever they imagine, they will accomplish. We are settling for so much less. Now, if they can do this for evil purposes, how much more can we, the body of Christ, do it with godly purposes and advance the kingdom of God? Amen? It took supernatural intervention by God to confuse them, to change their language, to stop them. So listen to me. When you're seeking agreement in prayer with someone, with another Christian, communicate and really share your heart to that prayer partner, okay? Give them, I used to work on the Abundant Life prayer group at Oral Roberts University when I attended Rhema. And us prayer partners on the phone, we took time. Say time.
Time.
We took time with them. They shared their requests. They shared their heart. I'll get there. Hold on a minute. Give your prayer partner as much information as possible for them to get the picture in their imagination of the breakthrough you're seeking. And they can also, here's what it did at the prayer hotline. This is what I was about ready to say, but I want to say this first. So you want to give the person enough information for them to get a picture in their imagination of what breakthrough you want. And then you're giving them enough information that they can also connect their emotions or feelings. They have your heart in the matter. That's why on the prayer hotline, I took time with people. There would be prayer partners crying and bawling, listening to all the prayer requests and the needs of the people. Their heart was engaged. Are you following me?
Yeah.
The description of the desire, the description of the need, the description of the prayer request, listen to me, will determine if spiritual agreement is given at all or to what degree it's given. Are you following me? Are you getting anything out of this? Some of you are like, wow, that's kind of a big responsibility then, coming in agreement with someone. Oh, I'm not even overdone yet. Get ready. There's more. The job list is pretty vast, okay? Remember, again, you are trying to convince that person. You're trying to earn their agreement. You're trying to get them to loan you their spiritual key of agreement to receive strength and power in the spirit realm. For your desire. Now, isn't that interesting? Think about it. When you're praying with someone, that person, this cannot just be some shallow thing, right? Because remember, it's your prayer request. It's your desire. And you got to convey that to somebody else. That prayer's got to mean as much to that person as it does to you. We haven't even begun to see really what true spiritual agreement is in prayer. Now, so some Christians are just indifferent about it. When you go to pray for them, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Amen? That's not the kind of prayer partner you want. You don't want wishy-washy. They're fired. They're fired. Amen? You want a Christian that truly cares and that's locked in and committed, listen to me, to stand with you. To stand with you in the battle. Amen? Amen? So listen to this. Now this is for the person, the prayer partner. Do not agree with a person for their prayer request until you heard the entire need and the details about that need or prayer request. Because it might not be scriptural. Remember, your agreement is precious. Your agreement is powerful in the spirit realm. Don't give in too quickly. Don't give in too easily. Amen? Listen, here's what's going on. You are binding yourself to their prayer request. You're binding yourself to that prayer request and to that individual. Now, listen to this. Here's something spiritual that you really got to have a spiritual mindset to understand. Are you ready for this? Sometimes, to find agreement with someone, you got to lower the bar. Sometimes, let me say it again. Sometimes, if you're going to find it, because some people, they just can't, how do I say it? They're not able to reach up that high with their faith. Are you following me? So now that person who has a prayer request has to make a determination. Well, I could keep the bar up this high and no one's going to agree with me and I'm probably going to have resistance, or maybe just lower it a little bit. Now we're agreeing. Now, what is that? What could that be in connection with? I'll leave that between you and the Holy Ghost. But it's a thing. Or you just keep your mouth shut and keep it to yourself. And you might never get that thing. Hello, somebody. Listen to this. Before you agree with them and their prayer, you need to do this. Ask questions. Get clarification. Is it biblical? Here's one. Are you ready for this? Ready? Say, I'm listening. Is it trying to control or manipulate someone else? Is it spiritual witchcraft? Will the answer to their prayer glorify Jesus Christ? So you need to use wisdom and discernment. So don't take someone seeking your spiritual agreement lightly, because they are asking to use your spiritual keys. And yes, those keys will work for something evil. You could be coming into agreement with someone that's loosing demonic spirits in that situation or upon somebody else. That's what witchcraft does. Are you following me? Tries to seek and control and manipulate someone. Even God doesn't control or manipulate anyone. He gave you a free will. Amen? So, again, you could be loosing the wrong kingdom. You should have heard some of the weirdest prayer requests I've ever had at the prayer hotline in Tulsa. It was unbelievable. Well, I want to be with this person. Pray that he would leave this person and blah, blah, blah. Are you nuts? And then, they didn't give up. Then they would call back and try to talk to someone else. Then they would get hung up on again. They would try to find someone who would come into agreement for that evil prayer. Are you following me? You could be careful, you could be tapping into witchcraft. So for all of these reasons, this is why, listen to me, this is why an unspoken prayer request is unscriptural. Oh, now I'm really going to hit a sacred cow here. I'm not mad at you if you ever did it. I'm just saying it's worthless. Save your breath. Are you following me? Just keep that prayer between you and God. No one, really, what's the point of putting out, I have an unspoken prayer request? Good for you. Don't know what it is. I'm just going to go about my day. Right? Whoa, you just wasted my time to see that come over the line? Amen. I'm just being honest with people, right? True agreement can never be reached. A spiritual connection can never be formed by saying that you have an unspoken prayer request. Number one, there's no agreement because I'm not coming in agreement for something that I don't know what you're praying for. Number one, it might not even be biblical. So just keep it to yourself. Amen. The only way that you will get true spiritual agreement is by sharing details about what you're believing God for. About what you're believing for. So be careful who you seek agreement from in prayer, right? There's an old little saying here in the Word. Don't cast your pearls to the swine. Are you following me? I hate to break this to y'all. Listen to this. Not everyone wants to see you blessed and prosper. I'm talking to Christians. Amen? Not everyone wants to see you blessed and prosperous. In fact, some Christians desire to see you suffer and fail in life. Don't be careless. Don't be naive in your selection with prayer partners. Amen? Make sure your inner circle are Christians that you can trust with the deepest heart desires and prayer requests. I'm telling you, listen to me, because I'll save you a lot of heartache and pain. Amen? If there is no trust, listen to me, if there's no trust, there can be no true agreement. Save your breath from sharing it with them. Trust must be mutual. Amen? Amen. So a lot of times you can't trust people. You give them a prayer request to someone you can't trust. They don't have your best interest in store, and you just gave them gossip material that spreads like wildfire. Amen? So listen to me. So trust must be mutual. Say mutual. So true agreement between Christians, it has a mutual desire for an expected outcome. Let me say it again. True agreement between Christians has a mutual desire for an expected outcome. Amen? You want to select Christians with a spiritual mindset and not a fleshly mindset. Now, let's talk a little bit about that in connection to the prayer of agreement and selecting a prayer partner. Are you ready? A fleshly mindset is selfish. They don't care about you. They don't care about your desires. They only care about themselves. And guess what? That's a horrible prayer partner. Amen? Now, listen to this. A spiritual mindset is unselfish. And that person has a kingdom of God mindset. Amen? They consider the body of Christ as a whole. They get outside of their own little bubble of their own life. Amen? That Christian with a spiritual mindset understands this. You want to know why? What this spiritual mindset does for that person? It makes them understand this. That when one Christian gets blessed or receives answer to prayer, it's a benefit for the entire body of Christ. It's a win for the kingdom of God. Again, they're unselfish. They understand sowing and reaping, the spiritual Christian. Are you ready for this? Listen to this. What you make happen for others will come right back around to you. Sowing and reaping. That's what the spiritual Christian, the spiritual mindset, that's the kind of prayer partner you want. Amen? It's a win-win situation for everyone involved. I like that. Amen? That's why you can rejoice when another Christian gets blessed. Why? Because you rejoice for them, you're sowing that rejoicing for yourself. Amen? There's no room for envy. There's no room for jealousy in the body of Christ. So do not approach a person for prayer that you sense envy and jealousy toward you. You can't do it. You can, but it's going to open up a whole bag. Hello, somebody. There will be absolutely no chance of spiritual agreement in that prayer. And again, you just opened up a whole bag of gossip for them to spread like wildfire. Amen? So seek out people for prayer that are not trying to be in competition with you. You got to seek people out that are not in competition with you. Amen? So you want to seek out a trusted Christian. Be as detailed as possible with them, like I said, in your communication about your desire and prayer request. Now, again, not communication just in words, but do your best to connect your feelings or emotions in that prayer request as well. Amen? Listen, if someone comes up and asks for prayer, and they're just kind of nonchalant about it, guess how you're going to act about their prayer request? Nonchalant. But if someone comes and says, hey, listen, I really have a need. I really have this going on. Now it's like, oh, wow, this person's really serious about this. Now your heart gets engaged and involved in it. Now it's got your emotions. Are you following me? When feelings get involved, it creates a stronger connection. It's not just their desire. Again, now it becomes your desire. Boom, now you have spiritual agreement happening. Are you following me? The Holy Spirit spoke this to me. Listen to this. He said, true spiritual agreement will stir up, listen to me, compassion and empathy in the heart of those praying with you. If there is no compassion or empathy, there is no true agreement on the heart level. Are you following me? Now, this is why at our healing services here, this is why I like people coming up individually to come up and tell me what their need is. I'm trying to form spiritual agreement with them in my heart for their specific need. Why? Because then it's going to be powerful. Are you following me? Listen to this. What is compassion? Say compassion. Compassion is defined as this, as sympathetic pity or legitimate concern for someone. Say concern. What's empathy? Empathy is defined as this, the ability to understand and share the feelings of another person. The Holy Spirit said, if there's no compassion and there's no empathy, there's no true spiritual connection or agreement. So to have compassion and empathy, you need to know some deeper details about that prayer request. You know what I'm saying? You need to know a little bit more, unless the situation's obvious, right? But you need to know some details. So here's what you're trying to do. This is what empathy is. Are you ready for this? You're trying to put yourself in that person's shoes. My goodness, how would I feel if that was me? And that's why our prayers for someone else need to be prayed if it was me in that situation. And I guarantee you, it will raise the level of effectiveness in your prayers for other people more than you know. Amen? Now, listen to this. Jesus was moved with compassion when he ministered to people. In fact, there's verses that even talk about that, right? Jesus was moved with compassion. I think it's Mark 1:41 is one of them, one of the places. Jesus had a pure concern and pity for people, and that compelled him to act, to heal, to pray for them, to do miracles. Amen? Jesus, listen to this. Jesus was in agreement for their need. Don't you like that? Yeah. So there must be a compassion and empathy present in your heart for there to be true spiritual agreement. Now, I want you to notice as you read through the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that Jesus, you'll notice this. Go ahead, read through it. Read through all four of them. That Jesus gave people an opportunity, listen to me, to express their needs, to express their desires, listen, and to express their emotions to him. How many times have we tried to push people's emotions down? No, no, no. Let them express it. Jesus did. Amen. Jesus was trying to form spiritual agreement with them. Not so much for his benefit, listen to me, but for their own benefit, for the other person's benefit. Now, here's what you need to understand. The people needed to know that Jesus truly cared for them. And nothing, listen to me, don't miss this. Nothing shows that you truly care for a person more than listening to them, taking time with them, hearing their heart, and allowing themselves to express themselves to you. Amen? And loving them with your time, compassion, and empathy. That's what Jesus was doing. It wasn't so much for him. He had the anointing. He was good to go. He was ready just to meet the need. But he was trying to form that tie, them, with him. Are you following me? Have you ever sought prayer for someone and they just rushed you through like you were just a number? Amen? And not a person, they treated you like a number, and not like a person that was truly hurting and desperate inside for an answer to prayer. You didn't feel valued. Am I right? You felt pressed through, right? Now, remember, the agreement must be mutual. Say mutual. They agree with you, and you must trust and feel valued by them. So you're trying to get agreement from that other person for your prayer request, but you got to be able to trust that person as well. Are you following me? So there's responsibilities on both part, okay? Now, if one of those characteristics are out of order or not there, there's no true spiritual agreement. There's no strength. There's no pull. There's no power. There's no traction in the spirit realm. Amen? For that request. So the people agreeing with you in prayer, they must be able to see the desired outcome in their spirit, in their imagination, which means that their faith must be active, right? Listen, you can't replace faith with agreement. You both can agree on something and you don't have a lick of faith, right? So they are emotionally, the person that you're choosing for prayer, they're emotionally invested in your desire. They are believing and praying for it, again, as if it's their own prayer. That's the kind of person you want on your side. Yeah. Amen? Amen. Faith is of the heart, and the imagination is in your heart. If faith is present in a person, it should positively affect and activate your imagination. Right? In fact, I'll tell you right now, am I in faith or am I not in faith? I don't know. What kind of pictures you got going through your imagination? Oh, it's always negative. Well, you got a faith problem. Oh, well, I can see myself here. I can see myself prospering. I can see. Oh, well, you're doing pretty well then. Because faith is of the heart and the imagination is of the heart. Are you following me? So your imagination is kind of a good judge on where your faith level is. Amen? So faith must be active. Agreement alone is not enough. You both still need faith, right? I'm almost done, all right? Did someone just say hallelujah, praise God? I'll kick you out of this church quicker than I can. Oh. Just kidding. Now listen to this as I'm getting ready to close, as hope arises on the inside of you all. Before the prayer of agreement is verbally spoken, everyone involved needs to verbally declare that they are in agreement. Why? Because that's an act of faith. Amen? Now, can you say that and there is no faith? Yeah, you can. But you better make sure. Now, I'm telling you, you can say those words without faith being active in your heart. Don't do that. If you really have a faith problem, do the person a favor who asked you to pray and say, you know, you might want to find someone else. Come on, somebody. Amen. Jesus had to kick some people out of a room because they were faithless when he was trying to raise a dead girl. Oh, come on, somebody. Why can't we just be honest in the body of Christ when we don't have a lick of faith? And then the person walks away thinking, oh, I came into agreement. And you're like, oh, boy, I don't know. Do them a favor. Look, just find someone else. Not able to agree with you. I love you. Nothing personal. I'm just not locked in. Is anyone bold enough to do that? Right? I mean, that takes a little bit of courage and boldness to do it. But at least it's honest. Doggone it, can't we as the body of Christ be honest and tell the truth to people? Amen. That's why all this division starts in churches and stuff, right? Let's just be honest, lay things on the table, deal with faults. Amen. So verbally speak the words of agreement so the kingdom of darkness can also hear you say it. Amen. When you speak it, when your heart's connected, truly they're connected, and you speak it, you're activating the law of faith by speaking it. Amen? It's almost as if when your heart's connected, you speak that you're in agreement before you pray. It's almost like it's tying a cord around everyone praying for that thing. It's binding you all together. I'm with you, brother. I'm with you, sister. Are you following me? Your verbal confession is sealing it. It's pulling it into the spirit realm and the prayer for that thing. So remember, prayer to receive something in the natural realm must be verbally spoken. I've said this before. I want to say it one more time. Let me say it again. Prayer to receive something in the natural realm must be verbally spoken. The prayer request must come through some kind of a manifestation of your body, of your earth suit. Why? Because it's your physical body that makes you legal on this earth. Are you following me? Your physical body is what makes you legal to operate on this earth and to have authority on this earth. Say authority. Now, when I say you have authority on this earth, listen to me. I'm not talking about the authority Jesus gave. Hello? Every human being on this earth right now has a level of authority. You want to know what it's called? Free will. That's a level of authority that every person walks in. Now, the Jesus authority, that's for spiritual purposes. But there is an authority that every person walks in. Everyone has authority or a free will, and that's how they are activating spiritual laws on this earth. So when you pray, you want to receive something verbally. You got to verbally. It's got to come through your vocal cords. It's got to come through something. Through your physical body, into the physical realm. Just remember it this way, physical realm, physical body. Hello, amen? Everyone involved with the prayer of agreement must walk away, listen to me, with peace and joy in their heart that the answer has been received. Even though there's not one lick of evidence in the natural realm. Not one. It's just as negative as it was before you prayed. But you received it in the spirit. Are you following me? If someone walks away from the prayer without peace or joy in their heart, there was no faith and there was no true spiritual agreement in that prayer. Now, here we go. Standing in agreement with another Christian means just that. It means that you stand with them. Here's your other responsibility that many Christians don't want to hassle with. Are you ready? It means that you stand with that person until the answer manifests in the natural realm. That's true agreement. You're standing with them. You're encouraging them. When they feel, oh, no, you're trying to lift their arms up. We prayed for it. We agreed for it. I'm not coming out of agreement for it. Are you following me? That's part of agreement. You're encouraging them. You're strengthening them. Not just walking away and forgetting about it. Are you following me? See, God has a desire for Christians to be close together. Do you know that? He has a desire for all of us Christians to be very closely connected with each other for a reason, to encourage each other,
to be that traction in the spirit, to be that one that's willing to give that spiritual key to someone, a brother or sister in the Lord that needs it. You need to be there to encourage them when the devil starts whispering words of doubt to them in their mind. You gave them your agreement and commitment, so here's what you got to do. Are you ready? Walk it out with them. Walk it out with them. You need to remind that person of that agreement. You need to keep reminded and speak words of faith to them until it manifests in the natural. I think we would see, if you all were to put all these points the Holy Spirit gave me into practice, I believe we would see breakthroughs happen like never before. I'm telling you, we will see breakthrough. We will see people prospering like never before. We'll see more miracles, signs, and wonders like never before. Your function or role of being in agreement doesn't end until that thing shows up in the natural realm. Well, I didn't sign up for that. Well, I guess you're a worthless prayer partner then. Well, I don't have time. Well, stinks to be you then, right? Remember, sowing and reaping. You want someone to stand with you in your time of need? You better stand with them in their time of need. Amen? Agreement, again, as I was talking about this whole time, agreement is not a shallow thing. It's a very serious role in a person's life, especially if it's believing for something that's life-changing for them. Maybe it's a life or death situation, whatever it is, something extremely serious. Amen? As you heard in my message today, spiritual agreement is more than empty words. It's more than just a quick 5-second prayer. It's more than a hollow or lifeless prayer. Spiritual agreement must take place at the heart level. That doesn't mean when you come up to pray with the prayer team, it doesn't mean to talk to them for an hour about one request. Are you following me? Because you can get your point across in a short time if you communicate it properly. Hello? Right? You see, you got to kind of have that sense, too, to where, okay, there needs to be some boundaries here. Don't tie up a person for 3 hours on one thing. Are you following me? You know, there's a balance to everything, right? Just get right to the point, share your heart with them, share the need, get on the floor and war. Amen? Hallelujah. Spiritual agreement must take place at the heart level. You must process the need in your soul. Listen. To make or decide or to make a judgment call if you should agree with that person's prayer request. All right? You are deciding whether or not to give that person the spiritual keys. Again, don't ever forget this. Ask yourself this when you're praying with someone. Does this thing, has this person communicated this enough where it's stirring up feelings of compassion or empathy in my heart? Amen? For the person you're praying for. Church, let's slow down. Let's listen to the desires and needs of others. When you determine it's something you're in agreement with, and most importantly, that the Word of God is in agreement with it. Amen? Let's walk in love, and let's allow that person to use our spiritual keys to unlock blessings in their life. And as we do that, as we maintain a spiritual and kingdom mindset, we, as the prayer partners, will also reap a harvest of blessing in our own life. So, church, it's time to grow spiritually and learn how to effectively pray. Come on. The prayer of agreement. Let's stand up in this place. Prayer team, come on down. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The prayer of agreement. Now, maybe there's someone in this place you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Today is the day of salvation. This is the born again experience, is the very first act of agreement with God your Creator. If you never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, come down and pray with any one of our prayer team members. We want to know, we want to lead you through a prayer. Share it with someone. Now, maybe there's someone in here, maybe this sermon really hit home. Maybe you recognize, you know, maybe I haven't been the best prayer partner. Maybe I really haven't been as faithful as I should. Maybe I don't know, spoke some things to others that I shouldn't have, that shouldn't have been spread, right? Whatever it is. I don't care what it is. It's something, but this message pricked your heart. If that's you, I want you to just come down after the service and pray with one of the prayer team members and rededicate your life. Rededicate to be a positive, a powerful prayer team member. Amen. With the people in the body of Christ. Now, maybe you've never received the Holy Spirit baptism. Come down. We want to pray with you for that. If you need prayer for anything else, we are here. Now, also, we have to get out of here by at least in about 20 minutes because the volunteers, we have a luncheon over at the Brentwood. So come on up. Communicate your requests very clearly to the prayer team. Amen. Very clearly. And God bless you all. If you need anything from us, give us a call. You know how to reach me. I love you all. Let's start being a true prayer partner with others in the body of Christ and stand with them. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great week, everyone.